Looks terrific. Levi Ellis, of course, the all-time leading rusher at Elyria Catholic High School, and they've had some incredible running backs in their days, Brian Thomas, Al McKinney. So for Levi to set that record last year was simply an amazing feat. So congratulations to him for being on the cover of the Forecast.
And you brought special guests with you this morning.
I didn't bring them. Oh, okay. They are here of their own accord. I don't ever tell AC where to be or when to be there, but one of my great friends with the Cavaliers, he's been so great to me the past few years, and I think I can say we've developed a strong friendship, oh, yes. Austin Carr.
I'm saying, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
So when you are when you're at Rock and Mortgage, how far apart are you people when you do your games, the TV, radio type of setup?
He's about 12 or 15 rows up from the floor.
Okay. Ever hear him in your ear? Because his voice travels, people.
Never heard him in the ear because it's too loud. I'm trying to. It's so loud down there on the floor. I have to keep my earphones on just to make sure I hear what my guy's telling me. You know, so it's interesting. But he sits in the perch.
Yeah, right, the Joe Tate perch.
That's what it's called,
right.
The Joe Tate perch. So they're like in heaven.
There's a little glow.
There's a little glow there, yeah.
When you are down that close to the action, not only mm-hmm. you talk about the noise, you must feel it. In other words, you can sort of tell it's almost like a wave of, you know, energy or things that are going on.
It definitely is a situation where, you know, when you're not in that situation, you definitely know there's a difference. You just don't feel it. And it really, during that COVID time when we were in the studio, man, that was hard to do those games because you had no feel for the game.
Totally agree.
Right.
How does that differ from when you're on the floor, when those players are on there? What are they getting out of that whole atmosphere?
The players, they don't really hear what we say. Right. I mean, because they are doing their thing and really – and I get loud, but they still don't hear. They still don't have a chance to listen in to what we're saying.
But they feed off that energy.
Well, yeah, they do. Yeah.
That's what I wanted to know. When you're down on the court as a player, do you really feel the crowd? Do you get the sense of
Yeah. Oh yeah, you got to have it. I mean, as a player, I hated to play in arenas that had no life. It's just tough to do that. It's almost like a practice session and. You just hate that, you know. But when that game comes, that little extra charge that the audience gives you, man, I think all athletes in any sport, they live for that.
And that's what you get for the finish, whether it's at the rim on defense or on offense too.
Right. Oh, exactly. Either side of the floor, that kind of gives you a buoyant feeling. You just kind of up.
That's what they talk about sometimes in the playoff atmosphere that who haven't experienced it. It almost is like lifts them too high beyond what they're able to control. And
you have to learn how to control it. Yeah. You got to learn how to control it. I mean, because if you have that type of system, in other words, if you are that kind of person, you have to learn how to control it. Like a Westbrook, a guy like him, he seems to get overhyped from it, and he has to learn how to control himself and keep him from going – overrunning plays and doing stuff like that. But I think he's done a pretty good job at it.
And it's interesting, AC. I think you would agree that when you're home, the Cavs absolutely feed off the energy feed off the crowd at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. The flip side is when you're on the road, it can be intimidating.
Yeah. You look like you have to have that, – that's when your team camaraderie comes into play on the road because you have to have – togetherness to fight to overcome all the negative vibes that are going around you. You got to have some kind of unit that everybody's together, and you fight those negative vibes together. And when you have that type of feeling, man, there's nothing in the world like it.
What do you see coming up for this 23-24 season? Different changes that have taken place, and how the season ended last year, and what they've learned from that experience against the Knicks.
I think I'm looking forward to it, Tim. I mean, we needed shooting, and we got it. I think we did a good job of acquiring that. I think we have to become more offensive. Just being a defensive team of the year means nothing, as we found out. You know, you have to have defense because defense, you win with defense, but you can't – it's only so far defense is going to take you if you don't have the offensive ability. So I think we have that now.
Yeah, we had General Manager Mike Ganzi on Cavs HQ a few weeks ago, and he said, we're willing to sacrifice a few points defensively, giving up a few points more per game to get more offense because we have to be better offensively. And AC referenced the signings, of course, Max Strus, who comes over from Miami, Niang, who comes over from Philadelphia. Those are guys that can knock down shots. And so you're going to see a little more offense, hopefully, with those signings. It may be a little more high scoring of a game because the Cavs are going to give up some points. But to advance in the playoffs, as we saw against the Knicks, you have to have outside shooting or they're just going to collapse and take everything 15 feet in away from you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's how they do it. And now that they know us now. See, that's the one thing that happens in the playoffs. Everybody knows who you are. So now it's up to us to make the adjustment to the league. At first, the league had to adjust to us. Now it's they flipped the switch after the playoffs. Now we have to adjust to what the league is going to do to us. And I think we had the personnel to do it. We just have to get used to a different style. Well, we have to play a little bit of a different style.
Back in your day, not to push back too far, but I remember watching you. Well, you know,
you're not pushing back too far, but I can't remember.
But you did not have the 3-point shot back then, right?
No, it came in my last 2 years, but we didn't use it.
Okay, what would you have done with a 3-point shot? Would you have enjoyed that?
Oh yeah, yeah. It would have made my life a lot easier because, you know, once I started having knee injuries, I started losing step. And by the time I had my last knee injury, I had lost the whole step. And in the NBA, that's a lot. But being able to shoot that 3-point shot would have really saved me a lot of headache and injury and heartache and muscle problems by being able to stay outside and shoot that shot. So it would have helped me quite a bit.
That's interesting.
What did you mean you said you didn't use the shot? I don't know.
Well, it's interesting. I've had this conversation with AC on the bus and at dinners while we're on the road. I said, if you could take your game films and just superimpose a 3-point arc on those game films. But AC always says, but we weren't shooting that deep.
Right, we weren't.
Because coaches wanted high percentage shots. So like the players of today, he would have had to have worked at that shot.
Right.
Because you weren't shooting that far out in your day.
But we wouldn't do it. We only use it. If we were behind with 5 minutes left in the game or in the fourth quarter, we would look for 3-point shots. But we didn't even have plays to set up those shots. I mean, so we had to just design plays to set up 3-point shots because we just didn't use it.
Fascinating.
But that being said, AC mentioned his injuries. To a person, anybody that I've talked to in the NBA, and I'm not just saying that because AC's sitting here, he would have been one of the most prolific scorers in NBA history. People don't realize, you mentioned how the years have gone by, how great a player AC was coming out of Notre Dame. Number one pick in the draft. He was that good. Still holds the NCAA record for single points in a game.
Yeah,
in tournament play.
Yeah, right, in tournament play. They did. Oh, how you caught me on a bad day because I was on fire then.
How's your golf game?
It's coming along. It was bad there for a while, but I'm getting better. I mean, because I've gotten a little bit more. Because really, during the season, I don't touch a golf club at all. So when you start over again, it's like starting from scratch. And it took me a minute to get back, but it's starting to come along now. So I'm starting to feel a little bit better about my swing now. So only problem is I got about another month and it'll be over.
Well, this is, you know, it's pressure time right now.
Right, that's right.
Jimmy Hanlon will give you some tips.
That's right. I still use some of his tips. I used to take lessons from Jimmy years ago. I still use some of his tips.
Well, that's what a good coach does. Gives you things to remember. You may not take all of it, but obviously the basics is there.